We Love Movies with Gordon Hayden.
Now, playing in cinemas this weekend is A Dog's Purpose, starring Dennis Quaid. He was recently over in London to promote the film, and I caught up with him to talk about it. The film tells the story of a dog who looks to discover his purpose in life over the course of several lifetimes and owners. Before we hear from Dennis Quaid, here's a little bit from the trailer to A Dog's Purpose.
I tried to make sense out of all the things I'd seen. Was there a point to this journey of mine? And how did bacon fit in? If I can get you licking and loving, I have my purpose.
Ethan, why do you always have this dog with you? It's like a girlfriend replacement or something?
The dog's laughing at you.
Dogs don't laugh.
That's funny.
Dennis, lovely to be in your company.
Great to be here.
Just before we talk about A Dog's Purpose, is it true when you were a teen, you were a veterinarian assistant?
Yeah, I was. In this little town in East Texas, I was 14, yeah. 14, I was a veterinarian's assistant for a summer.
Now, that could sound like a pretty good job. Or it could be a glorified picker-up or poo. Like what?
Well, it was all of that, actually. But, saw some surgery and went out to a lot of farms, too, and took, you know, with horses and things like that. It was really a very fulfilling job. I wanted to be a vet. That's the first thing I wanted to be, really, until I found acting. One summer when I was about 18, I was in charge of intake and output for 75 St. Bernards.
Right.
So feeding 75? Them and cleaning up after them. That was...
Hope you got a good...
I got mobbed a few times. They see me coming.
So you're a dog lover, so yeah. You can understand why you were drawn to A Dog's Purpose. But like, it is one of those movies, Dennis, that is very much engineered to have you as a blubbering mess. Mm. When you were first told about it, when did the waterworks start coming?
But my agent was just telling me the story. I had not read the book. He just started to tell me the story, and I started to well up. I said, "Oh, just you got to stop right now. I'm going to do the movie." Mm-hmm. And it really reminded me of, we all get it because it all reminds me of pets that we've had in the past or the pets we have now and or. What our dogs do for us.
Yeah.
Which is really, it's a story of unconditional love.
Yeah, well, I think people will be bringing the
tissues. They don't matter what mood you're in, how foul a mood you're in or whatever, they're always there for you. And, you know, they'll celebrate with you and they'll comfort you. And, we do for them and they do for us.
Yeah, I think you've called it Old Yeller without the tragic ending, I think, which is a good way to describe the movie.
It also makes you laugh quite a lot.
It does. I want to obviously get to know you in the short period of time that we have, Dennis, so I've got a few little quickies just to throw out at you. What sort of things, on a personal level, annoy you?
Fake people.
Okay, fake people. Okay, have you ever found a character that was difficult to shake off in that it stayed with you long after you finished filming?
Yeah, Doc Holliday.
Okay, right.
Because I had to gain the weight back. I lost 42 pounds from him.
What was the first role someone stopped you in the street over?
That would be Breaking Away.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm. So many movies you've made, and again, the time is so limited to talk to you, but you know, one of my favorite films of yours is Inner Space. Mm. I just think that is one of the most underrated 80s movies.
Number one worldwide. Movie that I'm recognized for.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because bearing on, people mightn't realize, but like you spent most of the film on your own. Because when you see it cut together, you've got such a
great, that was in a pod, yeah, for the most
comedy,
part.
That's but right. You're on your own for the most part. It's brilliant. People haven't seen it, so definitely check it out. I have to ask you, just on an Irish note, Fortitude, which is, you know, second season, very successful. Robert Sheehan stars in that. And Robert's had great success in Ireland with Love Hate. Now, for those that wouldn't know Robert, he's no shrinking violet. He's definitely a bit of a character.
Yeah.
And so how have you found working with him?
Everybody on the cast. I just love working with that cast. Mm-hmm. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
And I want to go back.
Very good. And how was the experience with Robert?
Excellent.
Great stuff. So what are you doing next? What have you got in the pipeline?
I'm going to do third season of Fortitude. Mm-hmm. Coming up right now. I've got, I did a movie called Ken, K-I-N, which is about, you know, feeling alienated. And it's about family. It's a very wild, fantastic story by these two Australian twin brothers who are called the Fabulous Baker Boys. That's their name, Jonathan and Josh Baker.
Okay.
It's an incredible story, though.
I had a new purpose. I was needed again. And again. And again.
Hi, you!
With each new life, I was learning a new lesson.
Hey, knock!
Have we met before?
Where did you find that?
Okay, ready? Go!
So there's Dennis Quaid talking all things A Dog's Purpose, a man who, to be honest with you, clearly didn't want to be there. Maybe he's seen A Dog's Purpose and realizes, what, why did I need to star in this film? I don't know if he had an extension to the house he needed to put on and needed the money. But joining me now is Mike Sheridan. He'll be reviewing a film called Sleepless. But A Dog's Purpose, Mike, I just want to get your thoughts on this beforehand, because it's sort of one of those movies where it was sort of, pardon the pun, dogged in controversy before it came out because of that TMZ video which leaked from the set. So this was sort of the bad smell that was hanging around. I've seen that video like an awful lot of people. And initially it was like, this is disgraceful, the dog, the way the dog's been thrown into the water. Having looked back at it a few times, the dog, he is put in, but like he's pulled out straight away. I don't know if I'm some heartless individual, but it didn't look that bad. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah, so I mean, this is the thing. There was an independent inquiry by the American Humane Association who take care of all the animals and all the movie sets, and they found that there was no wrongdoing whatsoever and that the footage had been heavily edited. It was somebody who shot the footage apparently a year and a half ago and who was waiting for the opportune moment to put the footage out, which was, I think, 2 days before the film was due to be released, but it could sell it to the highest bidder, basically. So it seems like a really ropey situation. And look, I have two dogs, and I'm obsessed with both of my dogs. So any harm whatsoever coming towards an animal would like really, really anger me on an extremely high level. So I get people's outrage over it, but in actuality, you know, nothing really astray seemed to have gone on there.
Now, the movie A Dog's Purpose, it really does feel like a Hallmark Channel movie that has just somehow managed to wind its way up onto the big screen. Now, Amblin are behind it. That's Steven Spielberg's production company. And I have a feeling I know why Spielberg came sniffing around this project, because there's a real sort of spiritual undertone, and a lot of Christian themed movies have been making gangbusters at the box office of late, like making huge, huge money. So it's almost like they're trying to kind of fashion in this spiritual tale with a bit of Marley and Me-like sentiment and hoping it'll be box office gold. In fact, if anything, it's really twee. It's so heavily signposted by the director, Lasse Hallström, that you can see everything coming. Like, it's fine, but by God, how it's on cinemas is beyond me.
Well, look at that director, Gordon. Look at Lasse Hallström in the film. He made the Slaughter House Rules. You know, this is a director with a bit of gravitas. He's made Oscar nominated and Oscar winning films. So the fact that he was kind of the guy behind it was a little bit surprising. But look, it's done well at the box office. It's actually, despite that controversy, despite everything else, there is an audience there for this kind of film, you know, and a crass manipulation as it might be of that audience. They're paying to see it. It didn't cost that much to make, and it's making money at the box office.
Yeah, it's very much engineered to get you crying. So there's part of me I was watching going, it's very cynically made. But anyway, A Dog's Purpose is out in cinemas this weekend, if that floats your boat. But a film we want to talk to you about now is Sleepless, which starring Jamie Foxx. Now, Mike, at one stage I didn't even know Jamie Foxx had even this in the pipeline, that this was coming out. This is a film, it's almost like it's been shoved into cinemas and like, get out there, and you know what I mean, let's see how it does. But it doesn't feel like there's much, say, optimism around this release.
No, well, I mean, it bombed at the box office. I mean, which I think it's a shame, because when you, like, Jamie Foxx is 50 now, he looks unbelievable. And when you look at Jamie Foxx's career so far, last 20 years or so, Any Given Sunday, Oliver Stone, he's been in two Michael Mann movies, he's in Miami Vice, he's in Collateral, he's great in both, and then Django Unchained, you know, and he won an Oscar for Ray. But Jamie Foxx is a great actor, he's extremely talented. And one thing I would say is that, I mean, maybe Baby Driver will change that, it's coming out in August, he's never really had that physicality utilized, or his physicality utilized on screen before. So if you're a producer and you're looking at it's a remake of a foreign movie, and if you're a producer and you see this material and you're like, well, who can we get in this? You know, T.I. plays his partner. Who can we get to play the lead in this? You know, it's like, because you look, John Wick is killing it at the box office. Keanu Reeves is an action star of 52. Frank Grillo to a lesser extent, and then Liam Neeson, and obviously in the Taken movies, you know, he's the bar. These films are making a fortune, but these kind of older actors and these kind of action setups, that's what the film has been marketed like. The film has been marketed like it's another take, and it's kind of got John Wick vibes, the pushing the hand-to-hand combat aspect of it. It's not really. It's kind of a internal affairs, undercover cop, kind of in real time, tries to be dramatic. Cop thriller, and it just doesn't work. There's very little action, and you know, I mean, you can see what they were trying to do here. You can see they were trying to make a lean and mean cop thriller.
Oh, God.
And it's just Michelle Monaghan as well. I love Michelle Monaghan. Watch her in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, just for an utter radiant performance. She hasn't been getting enough work in the last few years. It's good to see her in kind of a more of a leading role. And she plays another internal affairs officer in it. Although it just doesn't work, and despite the lack of fanfare, sometimes there's a lot to be said for lowered expectations, but it just didn't do anything for me at all.
Oh, that's such a pity. For those that might have an inkling to go check it out this evening, here's a little bit from the trailer to Sleepless.
They said it was just going to be an easy grab.
Well, it ain't no easy grab. They got teeth.
What is going on?
They have a son.
Find him.
We've got a problem.
I got enemies, got a lot of enemies, got a lot of people trying to drain me of my energy.
Whatever you're aiming at, make sure you're prepared to kill it.
I've been working undercover for 2 years.
He knows the players. He knows their methods.
I will pay every cop on your payroll to see Vincent Downs dead.
I got enemies. I got enemies. Got a lot of enemies. Got a lot of people trying to drain me of my energy.
You touch my son, I'll kill you.
So all in all, Mike, it just sounds like this is a bit of a damn squid, this one, unfortunately. Jamie Foxx in sort of Taken-like mode. His son gets kidnapped by a ruthless gang. It's up to him to try and find the child, and he's got a period of time in order to do so. I think he's going to have probably a better life on DVD or online or whatever. What would you give it out of 10 as a matter of interest, Mike?
I'd give it a 4 out of 10, maybe a 3 out of 10. It's fine. If you're sitting at home with your dad one Sunday on Netflix and you stumble across and it might be worth a watch, it's kind of easy enough to ignore, but paying 10, 15 quid to go and see it in the cinema, Gordo's an no.
Oh, thanks for that. Mike Sheridan, editor of entertainment.ie, thank you so much for joining me this week.
We love movies with Gordon Hayden.
Action! I'll be back.
You stay classy, San Diego.
And the Oscar goes to...
Love Movies on Spin 103.8 Movie News.
Yes, now on We Love Movies, it is time for the movie news. Before we speak to Andy McCarroll, the trailer dropped for The Dark Tower. This is the adaptation of the Stephen King hit series of novels. There's been so much talk about this because a lot of people were worried, going, really, they haven't got their trailer released now for some time, bearing in mind the film is out this summer. They'd want to get a move on. And then people were thinking, is all not well with this production? Well, before we hear what Andy thinks of the trailer, here's a little bit from it.
Who are you?
It's you. You're a gunslinger, right?
There are no gunslingers. Not anymore.
Why does the man in black want to destroy the tower?
The tower protects both our worlds. If it falls, hell will be unleashed.
He's like the devil, isn't he?
No, he's worse.
You can't stop what's coming. Death always wins.
Your world might be gone, but mine isn't. You let that tower fall, billions of people die.
Do they have guns and bullets in your world?
You're gonna like Earth a lot.
So there's a little bit from the trailer to The Dark Tower, a film a lot of people are anticipating because it's based on a series of best-selling novels by Stephen King. Andy, it's been out there now during the week, but I gotta say, I'm a bit underwhelmed by it. What did you think?
The same. I thought it was very generic, and it doesn't have that kind of, that money shot moment to kind of reel me back in. Now, I've been kind of trepidatious now since there's been no footage or no trailer, and it's kind of reminding me of last year with Fantastic Four when that has the same issue. It doesn't look like anything like any of the books. It's like they've tried to adapt all of them at the same time, but added their own thing onto it. Like there's one or two cool little you know, kind of Easter eggs in it. There's a brief moment where Jake walks by Pennywise the Clown's old exhibit, and there's like balloons in the background. There's also a photograph of on the desk of the Overlook Hotel from The Shining. But apart from that, it doesn't. It just looks so generic and bland. It doesn't really. I don't feel like it's going to do the book justice.
See, and because they're so dense, these novels, and there's so many of them, it was always going to be a very difficult undertaking, because I think Ron Howard and his producing partner, Brian Grazer, were behind it. They initially mapped out that it was going to be a number of movies and a number of television series in between them as well to fill in the gaps. I don't know.
I think they've kind of put the cart before the horse here. There was talk of 6 films, a tie-in TV show, a Netflix special, but I think... if you're going to do that, you need to do kind of straight adaptations, and it doesn't look anything like this. Like the first book is kind of like a Clint Eastwood type character chasing, you know, the devil through the desert. This is like, this sets in New York, this sets in kind of Pennywise's world. It's strange the way they've kind of done it. They've tried to adapt the entire Stephen King universe in one go, and I think they've kind of lost their identity in that point then.
The Dark Tower is coming out August 4th in the States. We're going to move on now, Andy, to other film news, because a little later on the show we're going to be looking at the best and worst movies in the Alien series so far. But one film that doesn't look like it's going to be part of the Alien anthology is Neil Blomkamp, the man behind District 9 and Chappie. He's planned Aliens movie, which was going to be a direct follow-on from James Cameron. And what happened?
It's looking like that's not going to be made. Ridley Scott was being interviewed on the press tour now for Alien Covenant, and he said there's never actually been a script for this. Like an 80-page treatment and a lot of concept art. Like the concept art came out last year, got like a lot of fans like myself excited. We're seeing the return of Michael Biehn was going to be playing Hicks, and they were going to bring back Newt. Now, Newt would have been around, you know, 27-30 at this point. But from what Ridley Scott is saying, that it's never kind of got out of the meeting or the pitch room, and a lot of fans are kind of stroking their ear towards Ridley Scott and thinking that it's because he has insisted that Alien Covenant, and this is kind of his sandbox and he's the only one allowed to play with it, he's kind of put the kibosh on it.
Yeah, I think so. I wouldn't be too far thinking that as well, because James Cameron claimed that he read a decent treatment for it and he thought it was in pretty good nick. So for some,
he said Terminator Genesis was good though, so I don't know if I can trust him either.
Well, look, it's not looking like it's going to happen anytime soon. But what Blomkamp was planning to do was to bypass Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection. He never explained as to how he was going to do that. That maybe those films were just going to be completely forgotten about, and maybe just sort of airbrushed from the Alien series. He never went into any details. But look, it ain't going to happen. Now, next up, Andy, is the film I cannot wait to see, is a sequel to Unbreakable, a film which has been mooted for an awful long time. It's finally going to happen. So, Andy, do we have a release date, a name, what's happening?
We do, and unusually for M. Night Shyamalan, who usually plays these cards pretty close to his chest, the film will be released the 18th of January in 2019, and it's going to be called Glass. And Bruce Willis and obviously Samuel L. Jackson as the titular character will be returning. And James McAvoy, of course, from Split will be returning as well. I am absolutely, I cannot wait for this film. Like the last 5 minutes of Split where they had the kind of reveal of the universe it was set in was just one of the best moments I've had in a cinema. It's been a long time since I've been as surprised watching a film. Like I was absolutely buzzing coming out of that now, and I can't wait for this to come along.
Yeah, very much so. And the thing is, for Bruce Willis, I'd say he's absolutely delighted, because he hasn't made a decent film in a long time. So the fact that Shyamalan now is taking his calls once again, he must know himself. And Unbreakable, it's just, it really is such a strong, strong film. And for an awful lot of people, they overlooked it off the back of the success of The Sixth Sense. And it still holds up. It's such a good movie. It's one of the most realistic superhero films ever made. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, do yourself a favour and get your hands on a copy of Unbreakable. And finally, Andy, Venom, Sony, they're still planning on making this movie, and it looks like it's going to be an adult-themed one.
Yeah, they've said that this is going to be an R-rated or an 18s-rated Venom movie, and they're looking to kind of start off their own cinematic universe with, you know, kind of more adult-themed superhero films. They're also looking at making Black Cat and Silver Sable, and looking at kind of a few more of the lesser Spider-Man films that they haven't given, or the lesser Spider-Man characters rather, that they haven't given the rights to Disney. the whole thing seems a bit kind of disjointed, and they've kind of done that with the Spider-Man films as well. They don't really seem to know what they're doing. I'd rather just see them kind of give the rights and go into a profit share with Disney and with the Marvel movies. Like a Venom movie on its own without Spider-Man, there is a lot of interest in stories in the comics, but that's a kind of a very niche market, and I don't think from a cinematic standpoint audiences are going to go and see a Venom film that doesn't have Spider-Man in it.
That's very true, Andy. It's going to be very, very difficult, and I suppose they're probably hoping now that maybe going down the adult route and maybe making it very violent, they can cash in on the likes of Deadpool and Logan at the box office. But you need to have some other strong characters around them to prop things up.
I think Deadpool and Logan are interesting characters in of themselves. I think Venom kind of is only interesting in a contrast to Spider-Man. I don't think on his own you can do a 3-4 films and create a cinematic universe around them.
Yeah, he's a good antagonist, yeah, but to be front and centre, yeah, it's going to be a tall order. Well, Andy, stay with us because you'll be back in part two of We Love Movies, because we're going to be going through Andy's best and worst films from the Alien anthology series. It's of course because Alien Covenant will be hitting cinemas next week, so we're going to be looking back at the Alien series today. That is all to come very shortly here on We Love Movies.